Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Ed Yordan back on the show. Ed is an original member of the Brain Trust. And he's one of the great visionaries on the world of technology. He's the only member of our many hundred, 1,500 plus Brain Trust member who is a member of the Computer Hall of Fame. He's the author of a number of books, including his new one. One of the new ones I know is Byte Wars, also Managing High Internet Projects, and he's our good friend, Ed Yordan. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You know, you were with us, Ed, in January of 98.
That's right. Time ago.
That was two months. After I went on the radio, and it was the month that we started simulcasting on the internet. How many people do you know have been simulcasting on the internet since 98?
Not a whole lot. In fact, probably not more than one or two.
Well, and the thing I remind people about is in 98, Microsoft didn't have a player.
That's right.
That's not too many things where I get to be ahead of Microsoft, but that was one. Ed, one of the things that I've been trying to talk to my audience about as much as possible is where we're going next decade with technology and what that's going to look like and how what roles technology is going to play, the full spectrum, talking, you know, the hardware, the software, the e-business part. What role is all that going to play in our execution and in the businesses, and I don't know anybody in the world who can talk about that better than you can. Would you help us with that, please?
Well, I'd be happy to, because that's kind of the area that I've been focusing in, and I think, you know, the shortest answer I can give you is that technology is becoming social. You know, everybody these days has got his hands on more powerful technology than entire Fortune 500 companies had available 20 years ago.
Right.
And they've got it in their hands. They own it. No one can tell them what to do with it. And it's pretty awesome stuff. You know, the iPhone 4 is coming out, as you probably know.
Yep.
And it's just mind-boggling technology. So companies in particular have got to figure out how they're going to deal with this stuff, because if they try to ignore it, it's just going to roll over them. And if they can embrace it and use it in a productive, proactive fashion, not only companies, but companies also, I think we can do some really amazing stuff. At this point, if I remember the stats correctly, there are 4 billion mobile phones in the world.
Wow.
So it's more than half of the human race has got their hands on a cell phone. And pretty soon, everybody will have the equivalent of an iPhone in their hands. Now, what the people...
And in some countries, you know, in America, we have a cell phone, but we also have a laptop with a desktop computer. We also have... You know, we have some other kind of devices. We have televisions. We have landlines, et cetera. In some countries, it is their technology device.
Yep.
Singular.
So they use it for different things.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful conference called PopTech that your listeners can look up on the internet. PopTech, which runs up in Camden, Maine every fall. And it brings in people from all over the world who explain how they are using technology in society. And the Africa and places like that are just mind-boggling. You know, they don't play silly games. They use it to keep themselves alive.
Right.
We have devices and we can do whatever we want, but in a lot of countries, that's it. You know, and there was a big project a couple years ago called the $100 laptop or one laptop. A full-powered thing, and they're trying to get governments around the world millions of these things, so that literally every child in school can have the equivalent of an iPad, which is really going to revolutionize education and society and government.
Well, and think about what that's doing to the demographics scenario, the demographic impact or dynamic, I should say, I guess, on the marketplace. We've already got these two young generations coming up, Xers and Ys. Especially the Ys, the millennials, we've all been moving into adulthood, moving into, you know, taking their place as managers and owners and that sort of thing, and so as we continue to empower young, the younger people as they come into play. And as you're in my generation sort of wanes, you know, the marketplace is changing in front of our very eyes from that standpoint, not just technology.
Yeah, absolutely. The marketplace and the kind of products that people want and the way that all this information is going to be presented to them. There's an enormous amount of noise that's you know, hitting everybody now, and being able to filter it out and you know, seeing only the
we're gonna take a quick break, folks, and we'll come back. Ed Yordan and I, we're gonna get granular. We're gonna talk some specifics and boil it down to how it applies to your and my small business after these messages. 2012, stay with us. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Also, check out the blog and all the other things that are there. The archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members, all that's there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And don't forget the poll question. We have a poll question that we post and we make available to you on the homepage every week, a different one. So I hope you'll take advantage of that and let us know what you think. It's real easy. You don't have to tell us who you are. All you got to do is just vote on what your choice is. Ed Yordan is our guest, folks. Ed is one of the great technology visionaries of our time, the author of many books on this topic, including Managing High-Intensity Internet Projects. Ed, we're talking about what you call, now you call it Enterprise 2.0, this thing we're talking about, which is where we're all going with regard to technology in our businesses.
Right.
Why is it called Enterprise 2.0?
Well, because the previous kind of buzzword of Web 2.0, which I think everybody's heard about, was regarded as kind of a consumer thing. It was, you know, the stuff that teenage kids do on Facebook and so forth.
Right.
And gradually over the last 3 or 4 years, serious, you know, for-profit companies have begun to realize that there's a lot of value, good old, you know, profit and loss kind of value in helping their employees collaborate. And, I mean, as I learned in this conference last week, even something very simple, which is kind of equivalent to Facebook's profile page,
yeah,
where you just show people who you are and what you're interested in and so on, can be enormously valuable. If you're a company like IBM with 400,000 employees in 170 countries, just being able to find people.
Right.
I'm looking for somebody who's interested or knows something about X and who might be able to answer a question. You know, that's a pretty straightforward thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what a lot of this Enterprise 2.0 stuff is all about. It's the Web 2.0 technologies that were introduced at the grassroots level back in the middle part of this past decade. And are now being kind of turned into industrial strength.
And the way that works for small businesses is, and let me stick something in here, Ed, and see what you think. One of the things that I've been, when I first started thinking about social media, which is what you were just basically just talking about,
and
as you may know, Ed, my audience knows, I don't like that term. I think that term is unfortunate. I would prefer to talk about online communities. When I first started hearing about social media and thinking about it, I didn't think about social media. I thought about communities.
Right.
And what you just described is the communities inside of IBM, for example, that can collaborate with each other. But for small businesses, we could be collaborating in communities with our customers, with other business owners in other cities who do what we do, the industry, our vendors. There's so many ways of building community. And isn't that what Enterprise 2.0 is, more than anything else, is community?
Well, yeah, it's certainly, you're absolutely right. It is community. And now, as to whether the community is inside the firewall or outside the firewall, that is a huge issue. And I think that's where small businesses have the potential advantage over big businesses.
Tell the audience what you mean by firewall.
The kind of security mechanisms that you have in you know, a typical Internet setup in your company that keeps the spam and the viruses and all that stuff out.
And the bad operators.
Operators, yeah.
What you're saying is whether there's a filter or not a filter.
Right. And now the big companies are terribly concerned, and sometimes they've got regulatory constraints about security and privacy and blah, blah, blah. So they've been very reluctant to do anything outside the firewall that is, you know, across this you know, technology barrier so that they could interact with potential communities of former employees and business partners and customers and so on. It's just too radical for them, even today. So they're getting the value, and it's still pretty significant value inside the firewall with employees.
Meaning they're, but see, here's the thing, Ed. What I've said before is that when you're building a community, you can serve the community, but you can't control the community.
Right.
And now, if you put it inside the firewall, you can control it more.
Right.
But that prevents you from being as responsive outside the firewall.
Absolutely.
And isn't that where the war is going to be fought or and won by small businesses over big businesses?
Absolutely, because they can do it. They have no concern about doing it. They don't have a corporate council telling them that, you know, they better not do it.
Right.
So you're right. And there are lots of wonderful examples of that, even with medium-sized businesses. There's a company called Zappos out in the Nevada area that's been written up as a Harvard Business School case study.
The shoe
Every
company?
Single employee is on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they are in constant, intimate contact with customers, you know, all over the world. You know, if anybody has a problem or an opinion or an idea or a joke to tell or anything, I mean, you can Twitter and it'll be picked up by the CEO of Zappos as well as, you know, ordinary line
workers. Right.
So that's the advantage. Plus, the small companies are more likely to have younger employees, and they're likely to embrace and, you know, and really take advantage of the energy and the willingness to use these new tools, whereas the big companies are still being run by people like you and me of our generation.
Right.
Who are much more conservative, may not even be using email.
And more, have more of a fealty, let's just be honest, have more of a fealty to the Wall Street analyst than they do the Main Street customer.
They've got that, and they've got this, you know, top-down, hierarchical kind of control mentality that just doesn't work with this new stuff, where everybody can talk to everybody else. So that makes it much more difficult for them to embrace all these new technologies. So I think the wars are going to be big company versus small company in terms of who adopts this more quickly, the generational issues, and there are going to be some very interesting things we learn over the next several years about cultural differences in different parts of the world, because, you know, the American culture tends to adopt this stuff, you know, very readily. We love to chat with each other without worrying about, you know, who is the boss of whom.
Right.
It doesn't work so well necessarily.
In other countries, exactly, like Japan, for example. Hold on to that thought. Quick break, right back with Ed Yordan. It's 10 till. Really good stuff from our good friend, Ed Yordan. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. Ed Yordan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Ed is, his last name is Yourdon. Ed Yordan. You can't miss him. He won't take much. It'll be very easy to Google him and find out all about him. Ed, your website also, please.
It's Yourdon.com. And I can give people a link to about a 200-page PowerPoint presentation on the stuff we've been talking about.
That'd be great.
It's on a website called slideshare.net. Just one word, slideshare.net.
Right.
/Yourdon, my name.
All right.
And they'll see Enterprise 2.0 is one of the three or four presentations I've given that people can look at or download or do whatever.
You're in the process of teaching us about Enterprise 2.0. You're using that very concept for your own distribution.
Absolutely.
Because you've written a dozen books at least and sold something under a billion copies all these years. but now you've got this 200-page PowerPoint that you're giving away.
Well, I've gotten further than that. One of the books that was, you know, kind of a standard college book is on my website as a wiki.
Yeah,
so I've told people I don't have time to do any more updates and modernization. You guys do it.
Ah.
So it's, you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's happening.
So, but how do you, all right, so and I hear that, and as you know, as an early adopter of technology, even though I'm a fossil, I'm pretty hip on the technology thing. I get all that, but how do we make that? I mean, somebody's got to be out there thinking, well, how does Ed make money on that?
You make money by creating attention where people say, hey, you're doing interesting stuff. Maybe I should talk to you and bring you in as a consultant.
It creates demand for your ideas. And so basically what you're saying, and folks, this is, to me, Ed, this is the huge part of Enterprise 2.0. It's changing business models. What we're talking about right now, Ed, is your business model has changed from 1998 when we first met.
Oh, no question about it.
Tell us, give us some examples, and folks, take you know, unfocus your eyes and allow these ideas to wash over your own industry, not just Ed's. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, most of the material that I create that I used to protect, you know, and with all kinds of copyrights and stuff like that, I make available on the internet for free, almost immediately. With something called a Creative Commons a license, which says you can modify, do whatever you want, as long as you extend the same courtesy to everybody else. You know, the modified
right.
version is open. So it's, you know, it's the Wikipedia kind of concept.
Yeah.
I mean, that I think more and more people are coming to realize.
It's the open source philosophy,
isn't it? Open source, yeah, absolutely. And so then you have to look elsewhere for means of, you know, making a buck to pay the rent. But I began finding several years ago that people just were not willing to pay money for something that they could get almost as good for free.
But is that a good thing, though? I mean, we know about your quality, but, you know, I know about the other stuff, too, that people are giving away, and the quality is not so good.
Well, one of the things that's happening is something called a reputation economy.
Yeah.
You see this, for example, on Amazon. You know, there are 10 different books on a particular subject, and it's not a question of money as to which one you buy. It's a question of your limited time. So you look at the recommendations and reviews, and now you can go a step further and look at the recommendations of the recommenders. You know, this guy who's saying, I think this is a good book, well, who is he?
Mm-hmm.
And so Amazon has already got a two-level deep kind of reputation system, and it's all, of course, grassroots and free, but that gives you a lot more information. Same thing with blogs. There are 50 million blogs out there, and obviously you can't read them all, but
right.
you depend on your friends and a reputation economy.
But this is where the communities come in, Ed.
Yep, absolutely.
Because you're going to find those people. You're going to be in communities that are micro, you know, communities that are focused on, you know, this particular little thing,
yep.
and that's how you find these things, isn't it?
That's absolutely true.
And that's another big thing to understand about Enterprise 2.0, isn't it?
Yeah, because a lot of these communities are behind the firewall. They're in these big companies,
yeah,
hundreds of thousands of people, but there may only be 10 people that are interested in a particular little niche that you are working
right.
on desperately right now, and you got to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And the employee directory isn't going to help you do it.
Give us that website again, Ed.
Which one?
Your website.
My website is yordan.com, and my blog is YordanReport.com.
And the one to get the 200-page PowerPoint?
SlideShare.net/Yordan.
/Yordan. Hey, Ed, thanks for, as always, such a great job today.
Thank you. My pleasure being here.
Well, thank you for being here all these years, and we'll see you next time. Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen, what a great resource. A lucky day, the day I found Ed Yordan to share some ideas with us. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.